from KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those mid swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauley on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
On a Tuesday night, we welcome you in. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. A little shorter than normal tonight, not my height, the length of the program. We are taking you until 7:30 this evening. We'll get out of here 30 minutes early and make way for coverage of the vice presidential debate. But we've got 2 hours plus worth of content to get in here between now and 7:30. A number of guests are scheduled on the show. This hour, Bernie Miklas is going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. And then Lynn Worthy from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, one of the Cardinals beat writers, he is going to join us at about 6:35. And we're going to continue to continuing the conversation that we had yesterday, coming off that press conference that the Cardinals had yesterday. I'll be honest with you. I'm always honest with you. Sometimes I get done with this show and I'm driving home and I'm kind of reflecting upon the show. And yesterday, if you were listening, yesterday was one of those days where I went into it and I really had two goals. Goal number one was to get as much of the like actual information from the day out. And I think we accomplished that because we had a conversation with John Mozeliak yesterday. We had a conversation with Bill DeWitt III yesterday. If you missed any of it, you can always go find the podcast version at KMOX.com and just go to the Sports Open Line podcast page or the Cardinals Conversations podcast page. So we got that part done. And then I wanted to give you a voice because I thought on a day like yesterday, this is a very good forum for you to call in, text in, tweet in, that sort of things, and share your thoughts. And we did that, and we did a lot of that. And I got done with it, and I said to myself, you know what? I responded a lot to callers yesterday, and that got a little bit testy at times. But it felt like it was one. I try to provide context to decisions that are made like yesterday. Like my job in part is to hear what the Cardinals say, put my spin on what this means for the organization moving forward, and try to add some context to that. And I don't know if I did a good job at that yesterday. And I want to do a better job on that today and for the rest of the week as well. Couple things that I didn't really get to yesterday that I want to start off today. One of the reasons, and I'm actually looking forward, Bernie Miklas is going to be on, and like I said, about 6:20, so about 7 minutes from now. He had a column yesterday, Scoops with Danny Mac, that he basically said, and look, Benjamin Hockman has wrote it, a lot of people have wrote that not a great idea to bring John Mozeliak back. And I would respectfully push back on that, not because I think John Mozeliak has done just an amazing job over the last couple of years. Look, he has overseen a baseball operation where the team has missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. I'm not trying to just like give him a free pass. But I know this for sure. The way that this Cardinals team, and what floors me, what really confuses me, surprised me, I'd have to think that one through a little bit. The amount of people who don't see the value in what the Cardinals announced yesterday, to me, it's very clear. It's a 100% certainty sort of thing. It's something that I have been asking for months and months and months. The Cardinals have to do better in developing players into impact major league players. So the development process has to be better as they are actually developing in the minor leagues, and it also has to be better at the major league level as well. The old adage is development doesn't stop just because you get to the big leagues, and that has never been more true than it is right now, where minor league players are being rushed through the system. Development has to be better, and I just want to be very clear that when I say development, I'm not just talking about minor leagues. I'm talking equally minor leagues and major leagues. Development has to be better. If the Cardinals are going to be a team that can consistently compete at the highest level, that go that they have a legitimate chance to be a World Series team and not just a fluke your way into the playoffs and happen to get hot and maybe you go on a run the way the Arizona Diamondbacks did last year. Not just that, but a team that you look at on paper and say, man, this team, they've got a chance to win it all. This is a good team. This is one of the best teams in baseball. For the Cardinals to be that team, they have to be developing players that impact the major league team in a profound way. And it has to happen with player development. And the reason, and I'm going to throw this at Bernie Miklas in a few moments because he wrote a column yesterday kind of disagreeing with what I'm about to say, and I want to have a fun conversation about it. One of the reasons that I am very comfortable with John Mozeliak being back next year is because of my absolute belief in Heim Bloom and my understanding of the job that he has and how important it is to the long-term high-level success to the Cardinals. And I want Bloom for the next year to be as solely focused on redoing player development as possible. That doesn't mean he's not going to have any voice when it comes to major league decisions and some other things in the organization. But this is not a situation where I want him to just take over the entire baseball operation right now, because the heavy lifting is fixing player development. Go focus on that. I'm not trying to be dismissive of the job that Mo has to do between now and this time next year when he will step down. I'm really not. But Mo can go do his thing. Mo can go do his job. And for the long-term health of this organization, at least for the next year, I want Bloom to be able to spend most of his time on fixing player development. And I think that's where the value is in Mo being back next year, because it allows Heim to more focus in on the thing that has to be fixed for this organization to get fixed. We'll talk about that and more with Bernie Miklas coming up in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we are keeping an eye on what's going on in the baseball playoffs. The Mets just put up a 5-spot in the top of the fifth inning. They've taken an 8-4 lead in Milwaukee. What an interesting series that is. David Stearns, who led the Brewers and built what they really are now, is now the president of baseball operations for the Mets. And that's a scary team in the future if you believe in David Stearns. So we'll watch this series and this game today. Right now, very happy to welcome on to the program. He is our friend Bernie Miklas. And before we even start with Bernie, just want to let you know, he, along with I and Tom Ackerman and Kevin Wheeler, we did a video earlier today. You can find it on our YouTube page, KMOX Sports, on the KMOX Sports Twitter page, where we really broke down a lot of what was said in the press conference yesterday. It was a lot of fun. I think the content and the information is fantastic, and would encourage you to go check that out for yourself. Bernie, appreciate you being with us again. Fun to talk to you for a second time. And like I just said, that was a really good conversation we had earlier today.
I had so much fun, and it left me like looking forward to the next time we do it. It was great. It was outstanding, and I'm not just saying it because I was on it. I was looking at all you guys while we're doing the live stream, and I see everybody smiling, everyone in a good mood, because you could tell everybody was enjoying it.
This shift for the organization where they're handing player development off to Heim Bloom, and eventually they're going to hand the whole baseball operations, but let's just talk about the next year for a minute or so. As they redo player development under Bloom, how key is this for the long-term health of the organization?
It's huge, and I was doing some research today, and a couple things really quick. You know, when he was a big... When Heim Bloom had a huge role in the Tampa Bay player development system and their model, in his prime years there, the Tampa Bay Rays, pitchers age 25 and younger, they were number one in the majors in wins above replacement. And then hitters, position players, age 25 and younger, they were number six or number seven. And then when you go to Boston, when he took over the Red Sox, as he was entering the job, they had the worst farm system in baseball as rated by Baseball America. And by the time that he left, going into 2024, They had the 10th best farm system. And in August, Baseball America put him at the number three farm system. So everywhere he has been, he has had the magic touch with drafting, player development, minor leagues. It's an excellent track record, and I think it's going to help the Cardinals in the long run a lot. And I think it's going to get Bill DeWitt fired up too, because Bill DeWitt loves player development. I don't know why they got away from it. But this, those two guys, Bloom and Bill DeWitt Jr., are a good fit because they both share a passion for player development and for having a great minor league system.
Do want to remind folks that Bernie's appearance is sponsored by Sliga Heating and Cooling, and American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer. More on that with Bernie in just a moment. I want to throw this at you. You and I think, are very like-minded on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You wrote yesterday that essentially it would have been a better move to move John Mozeliak to the side for the next year. Maybe not let him exit the organization, but just give the whole thing to Heim Bloom now. And I want to push back on you a little bit for one specific reason. I want to see Bloom be singularly focused as much as possible on fixing this player development system and not being bogged down by all these other things. We know that for what that major league roster may look like next year, it might not be an impactful roster depending on what they end up doing in terms of lowering payroll. I think having Mo stick around for a year to allow Heim 1 year of implementing everything he wants to implement and not having him torn in all these different directions brings some value to what he's going to do. Agree or disagree with my take there?
No, I think it's a legitimate view. I was looking at this from a standpoint that it's going to be it's not my job, of course, to tell the fans what to do or how the Cardinals to match repair their relationship with the fans. But I think as long as Mo's front and center, you know, it's going to be kind of a drag on thing. Heck, he even makes jokes, self-deprecating jokes about how unpopular he is. But, you know, thinking about this, there's two things that where I would go along with this, because again, I keep an open mind on these things. Number one, one benefit is that even though he'll be immersed in the minor leagues, and I agree with you, that is a time consuming, that is an all-in type of project. So I'm going to look at it from that standpoint. He can do a lot of good with a very, very important job tasked to him by Bill DeWitt. But he'll also still have time to really get the lay of the land, not just in the minor leagues. He'll know everyone who's working in the front office. He'll know who does what, why they do what they do, whether they need to have better people in those jobs. He can still simultaneously get a better feel for the organization as a whole. And then when he does take over, unlike in Boston, when he kind of crash landed and had very little time to prepare and to sort of get to know everything there, he will have had a year, actually 2 years, to just become fully assimilated in every aspect of the Cardinals organization. That's number one benefit. And the second one, and I think there's a lot of truth to this, is that if the Cardinals have to make some unpleasant decisions, if they do go and slash payroll, if they make some unpopular moves, well, it's better for John Mozeliak to take the heat, to take the arrows, to take the beating on those things. Then Heim Bloom can come in a year from now and he'll be viewed as the guy riding in to rescue the Cardinals, if you will. Like, he'll get a clean start, and none of the stuff that happens in 2025, if it's bad, will be blamed on him. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Heim's legacy in Boston, and I think this is completely unfair, his legacy in Boston is he's the guy who traded Mookie Betts. He would not then come into St. Louis as the guy who traded Nolan Arenado, Wilson Contreras, Sonny Gray, any of the above.
No, that's right. And here's the way my brain works, maybe to my own detriment, because in today's culture, you have to be this all or nothing guy. You know, it's all black or white. There's no gray area. I just can't operate like that. Here's the way I look at it. I may have felt strongly that it would have been in Bill DeWitt's best interest to move Heim Bloom into the big chair right now. But once a decision is made, and I've already said what I thought, it really doesn't matter what I think. Now I want to analyze it based on how it really is going to be, and to kind of move forward on that, because I've done all the hollering, so to speak, on that I needed to do, and there's really no point in hollering about it anymore. So let Heim Bloom do his job. Let him rekindle Bill DeWitt's love for the farm system and player development, which used to be a passionate thing for Bill DeWitt, and I think he wants to get that back. I think I think Chaim Bloom and Bill DeWitt Jr. are a really good match. Unlike Chaim Bloom and the owner in Boston, who was volatile and stormy and changing his mind all the time. The one thing, I know people are down on Bill DeWitt or whatever, but the one thing about him is you can say he's steady and he's stable. He's not a knee-jerk guy. He doesn't fly off the handle. There's a methodology to the way he has run the Cardinals. And in case people, you know, kind of have forgotten, you know, from 2000 through 2015, they won more postseason games and competed in more postseason games than any team in the majors to go along with 2 World Series, 4 National League pennants. I don't scrub history just because they've had a few bad years or a few disappointing years. I mean, Bill DeWitt knows what he's doing. He got away from some of the things that were working, and that's his fault. But now I think he's recommitted to sort of reestablishing the farm system as the beacon of the organization.
I am curious because they know that bringing Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak back, that there's going to be a percentage of the fan base that won't buy tickets, that won't show up to games, especially at the beginning, and if they're not winning, this organization has to be prepared for that type of year next year, knowing that you have to deal with that to eventually get to where you want to be again.
No, I agree with you. Listen, they're just going to have to take the heat. They're going to have to feel the frustration and feel there's going to be some more pain involved here, frustration on the Cardinals' end. But they kind of got themselves into this, so they're going to have to figure out a way to get themselves out of this. It's not going to be an easy year for them in 2025 because there are so many unhappy people, and the Cardinals need to sort of rebuild their trust with the fan base and rebuild their credibility with the fan base. The people that are really been out of shape about this, and I would never question anybody for being angry. They're the customers, they're the fans. It's their money, it's their time. Just as I would never encourage fans not to go to games. I mean, everybody spend the money the way you want to. It's your decision. If you want to go to the ballpark, go to the ballpark. If you want to stay home, stay home. I make my own decisions. Matt Pauley makes his own decisions. So I don't dictate what people should do, but it's going to be a tough road for them. And Ollie Marmol's problem, his main problem is that close association with John Mozeliak. He'll always be viewed as Mo's guy. I talked to Ollie about that during the season. I said, you know, you're in a tough spot here because no matter what you do, if you do a heck of a job managing the team, you have a good season. There's going to be a lot of people because they're down on Mo are going to be down on you by extension. And he just kind of laughed. He said, I hear you. So the only thing I'll say, I have no problem with him coming back because for the same reason we talked about Chaim Bloom, and it's not bad for him to have a year in the minors putting that together. Because a year from now, we don't know where the Cardinals will be or what they'll be inclined to do. And I think in a year of uncertainty that's about to transpire in 2025, it's okay to have Ollie Marmol manage the team because after that, who knows? The Cardinals may go in a different direction. But they did win 83 games, and people say, well, you want to have a parade over that. No, I don't want to have a parade over that. But they should have won 76 games compared, based on their run differential. And I would like to remind people that the 2006 Cardinals won 83 games, and they had future Hall of Famers on that team, and we all know what happened there. So this year, from holding the manager accountable standpoint, he would be way down on the list of people that I would hold accountable for the fact that they didn't make the playoffs. And one thing, too, and I'm sorry for the long answer, the one thing I've never understood and I won't accept is that if we as a group of people and fans and media people are going to fault the Cardinals for the rosters that they've put together and the flaws that they've put together, and they've had to wing it to put together a rotation and this and that and this and that. Well, if we all think it's a flawed roster and the front office has not done a good job, then why in the heck would we blame the manager for not winning more than 83 games or so? Like, you can't have it both ways. It's either the roster or you think the manager's terrible. You can't have it both ways. You can't complain about the roster and then turn and say, well, Ollie Marmol should have won 87, 88, 89 games. You can't have it both ways. Sorry.
Bernie, we always appreciate your time. Can you tell us a little bit about Saliga Heating and Cooling?
Yeah, I need to cool down now, so that's good, right? Now, Saliga Heating and Cooling, listen, we have been a Saliga family for the last 15, 16 years, and we're part of the tradition of Saliga Heating and Cooling. It's an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. It's been serving St. Louis families generations since 1927, going on fast approaching 100 years, and the same family, the Saligas, continuously have owned it since 1927. And Danziliga is the fourth generation owner operator. The standards remain very, very high. They have helped us in many jams, many emergencies, new equipment problems that we don't understand. You call there at Zaliga Heating and Cooling. You talk to a real person. They don't give you the runaround. They're prompt when they say they're going to be at your home. They're classy in your home. There's no fast talking. There's no upselling. There's no hustle. They are honest as possibly could be in terms of the highest standard of integrity. That's my experience with Zaliga for the last 15, 16 years, and my wife feels the same way. So they do all kinds of work, residential, commercial, you name it, all makes and models, and they have that great American standard heating and air conditioning equipment. So I'll be quiet about it other than to give you the phone number, 314-481-7333, 481-7333, and go to the site for more info, ZaligaHeatingandCooling.com. Thank you, Matt.
It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Have you for about another 50 minutes. We take you till 7:30 tonight, down a little early. We will air the vice presidential debate here on KMOX. Very happy right now to go back to our guest line. He does a fantastic job covering the Cardinals for STL Today and the Post-Dispatch. He is Lynn Worthy. You follow him on Twitter at LWorthySports. Lynn, appreciate some time of yours today. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks. It's good to be with you, Matt.
How long does it take you after the season comes to an end to kind of catch your breath?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, we were all sort of gearing up for a press conference yesterday. So, I mean, like, you don't I think it's more so just trying to figure out, like, okay, what are going to be the first things we need to do once the season ends? It's not really like a season ends and then everybody take a break necessarily. It's more like, okay, what are the things that are still sort of hanging out there? What are the things that we know are going to happen, or, you know, we know we're going to have a press conference? What are the things that are going to be coming down the line, and what things that we sort of save up so that we can make sure that we still have, you know, stories and things that people want to read about and try and give some people some insight, some information, some context to things that just happened in the season that ended.
We knew going into yesterday that there was going to be an announcement about player development. We didn't know for sure, at least I didn't know, that they were going to be announcing the official succession plan a year from now. Chaim Bloom's going to take over as president of baseball operations. Were you at all surprised that they went ahead and just announced the entire succession plan right now?
Yeah, I mean, because people have been asking about it for, you know, a while now. I know this season, I know for, I can't remember when it was, but I know one time on the road, Mo sat down and talked to me for the story that I wrote. And when I asked about that thing, he still was pretty tight-lipped about what they were planning on doing, what they might do. And so I wasn't sure that they were going to just come flat out and say, hey, this is what we're doing. I thought they might, you know, but especially after, you know, like my colleague Derek Gould wrote from Sunday night that, you know, there's going to be more influence for Chaim Bloom, but it didn't really say what that entails. So I thought maybe we would hear that, you know, he's going to be overseeing player development and, you know, he might have a bigger voice in baseball operations, but I didn't know that, or I didn't necessarily expect that they would go the full step and say, he's going to be the guy who takes over, and he's already signed a deal to be there for 5 years in that capacity.
Fans, many fans, are not happy that John Mozeliak and Oliver Marmol are back in their roles for another year, even knowing that Chaim Bloom is going to take over a year from now. The team knows that. The team sees what's being said, and the team saw the lack of people that were showing up to games as the season went along. Are they prepared, do you think, to have another year where maybe attendance isn't great, with the idea that a year of growing pains can eventually lead to this team winning more consistently?
I think they had to have considered that. They had to have taken that into account. I mean, I think they knew that, like, from a standpoint of what you're just trying to sell things to people, to fans, to critics, then – yeah, maybe you could go ahead and, you know, sort of just have Mo moved aside and just make it all time and give everybody a new face on things. But I don't think – I think they opted for this is what's going to – what they think is going to be better for them long run in terms of their success, their shaping the organization. Like, I think if they were looking at a PR standpoint, they probably could have done it differently, but I think they were trying to look at it as, or at least that's just my opinion, it would be that they probably looked at it as what's going to be best long-term for them and everybody involved, including Chaim Bloom. that the PR thing wasn't the thing that was going to be best for them long term. So they went with what they felt was going to be best long term, and they knew they were going to take the hit. I mean, I think part of that, like you said, you know, fans, maybe attendance going down. You saw some of that at the end of this season. I think part of that factors into, you know, payroll is going to come down. They know revenue is going to come down. Bill DeWitt III mentioned, they know local revenue is going to come down. Like, they're already factoring these things in. So I think they know that they're just going to take that hit, but they decided that the thing that was going to be best for them and what they needed to do, the overhaul that needed to happen, was to let Heim have this year to oversee that, as opposed to putting a different face on things for people to maybe be a little less angry.
They said payroll going down, but they did not get into details beyond that. Payroll could go down in a way that mid-level roles that were filled by Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn and guys like that who are making legit salaries get filled by guys coming up from the minor leagues who have a lot less salary. That's one way of reducing payroll. But the other way of reducing payroll is moving on from players. And Nolan Arenado and Wilson Contreras and Sonny Gray have all been mentioned as players that could potentially get traded. Do you have a gut feeling on what the reduction of payroll is going to look like and which one of those roads they may go down?
I'm not sure that they – I mean, I think there may be some veterans moved on from. I mean, you know, like Goldschmidt obviously becomes a free agent. So, like, there's an easy one right there, and you have guys who you have options on, and you can just decide not to exercise those options, and they become free agents. And so, like, those ones would be easy ones. The ones with the guys that are under contract become a little bit trickier, and I think John Mozeliak alluded to this where he said, you know, guys sort of can almost control their own destiny a little bit, because you have guys who have no trade clause. So that means that, you know, you have to work with them if you're going to move them somewhere. So, I mean, like in most trade scenarios, it's like, okay, what's going to be your best return? What's, you know, where can you leverage to get the best deal, and what's going to be best for the organization? But in this case, like, that guy can still say no. So it is a lot of different moving parts when you got guys who can, you know, just veto a trade and you know, kill it before it gets going. So I think that's why that becomes a little bit trickier. But I think in terms of payroll going down, I mean, I think Bill DeWitt III even mentioned this too. Is like, he said it was probably more so in the realm of, you're going to have younger players, and a lot of the players are going to be in that range where, you know, their salaries are sort of, you know, lower salaries because arbitration and not really hitting free agency, that sort of thing. So, like, when you have more of those players, then payroll comes down almost automatically there.
We're talking with Lynn Worthy from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. I don't know. Look, they may take a step back from a win-loss perspective next year, but I look at it and say, yeah, again, just going to the rotation. If you replace a Kyle Gibson and a Lance Lynn, and you go to, say, a Michael McGreevy and a Gordon Graceffo and maybe eventually a Quinn Matthews, there might not be as much of a drop. Again, if they move on from more of their high-profile players, then obviously the team takes a step back. But isn't there a scenario where they lower payroll, but they can still be at least as competitive as they were this year?
I mean, it's possible. In my mind, that's more wishful thinking than something you can expect. Because if you're rolling out there guys who, you know, have very little to no experience, especially on the rotation, I mean, as it is, any rotation, you're always susceptible to, you know, guys just having bad years, guys being injured, you know, guys, you know, just, you know, not performing what you, the way you feel like, you know, that you projected them to. And then when you have younger players, it becomes even more so. At least just that tends to be the thing. And partially I'm thinking of my own experiences. Like, you know, I look at, you know, Kansas City, with teams in the playoffs today. I was watching their game earlier. And, you know, I haven't really looked, but I assume that Brady Singer is going to be one of the starters that they have in the postseason. A couple of years ago, they had five guys who were all drafted within the same class or within a year or so of each other who were all in the rotation at one point because they had, you know, they had other guys hurt. They had, you know, maybe a couple of veterans that they had gotten moved away from. And of that group, I think Singer's the only one who's still in the rotation. Hmm. Daniel Lynch is in the bullpen. Chris Bubich pitched today out of the bullpen. And other guys are in different places. Other guys didn't pan out. Other guys are still, you know. But, I mean, they had five guys all at once. So from I think at one point, five guys pitching in the rotation from the same draft class was the first time that ever happened. And by the time they turned it around to where they're in a playoff team, you got one of those guys still in the rotation for your playoff team. So, I mean, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I think if their expectation is you're going to bring a bunch of young guys up roll with that and that things are going to be even better than this year, it could happen, but I wouldn't bet on that.
Lynn Worthy does a fantastic job covering the Cardinals for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. Again, follow him at LWorthy Sports. Lynn, thanks so much for the time. Hopefully we can catch up with you every once in a while over the course of the offseason.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Very good. That's Lynn Worthy joining us. We'll take one more break, wrap up hour number one of the program. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a moment or so left here in hour number one of the program. Text message came in from the 417. Says, Matt, you can spin the Cardinals retooling themselves any way you want, but you have that homer philosophy. You don't look at things realistically, and I wouldn't spend more than about $10 on a ticket to watch next year's team, and I certainly wouldn't be spending money on season tickets to have them give me a bunch of bobbleheads. I get that a lot. Oh, you work for the flagship. You're a homer, carry water. I think I'm fair. That's what I think I am. If you're looking for a guy who's going to yell and scream and take unfair pot shots at the team, no, that's not me. But I think I'm fair. And the most frustrating thing for me over the last 24 hours is the fact that I have spent the better part of the last 4 months talking about the Cardinals needing to redo player development, to get more technological data in use. The whether it's a pitching lab or stop motion technology or more people in the baseball analytics department, I didn't know they were going to do it. Had no clue they were going to do it, but I have been calling on them to do it for the better part of the last 4 months. And by asking them to do that, I have been saying that what they've been doing hasn't been good enough. When I say they need to do this, this, and this differently, I'm sitting there telling you that what they're doing right now isn't working. So I have spent months talking about this. You can go listen to every Sports Open Line and every Cardinal postgame show on our podcast feed, and you can find what I've been saying. And then they announce it. And I'm really happy that they announce it because it's what I've been asking them to do. And all of a sudden, I'm carrying water because I'm in favor of them doing this? No. This is what I've been asking them to do. And yes, I am excited about it, and I think it's going to produce winning long-term.